We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, 20th chapter, verses 14 to 34, 8th canto, 21st chapter, verses 1 to 34. It's 17 to 34. We read three verses yesterday. Verse 17. Intyavalistadagatya patni jalakamalini aninye kalasham haimam avani jan yapambhutam. Bali Maharaja's wife, known as Vindhyavali, who was decorated with a necklace of pearls, immediately came and had a large golden water pot brought there, full of water with which to worship the Lord by washing his feet. Mukam karati vachala vangulam hayate gini yakipan kumham bande shirudam dinachari om jnana chinarandasya jnananchara shalakaya chakshamilicham yena tasmai shirudave. So what do you remember from yesterday's classes? Chapter 19 and chapter 20. Yes. Jaini Tagore.
The Shukracharya realized that Bali Maharaj is intended to give charity to Bali. He was opposing Bali Maharaj. He said that this is actually your enemy, Lord Vishnu. If you give him anything, he will take everything.
Right. Give him an inch and he'll take a mile.
Yes, and anyway, you didn't say Om before you promised.
Yes, you didn't say Om.
In Vaishastra, it's not necessary that you fulfill that promise if you didn't say Om.
Yes.
And he will actually, if you give him three steps, he will actually expand. And he will take away, the first step, he will cover the lower planetary system, the second step, upper planetary system. He will not be able to fulfill your promise.
Yes. Where will he put the third step?
Yes.
Okay, anybody else remember about yesterday's class? Anything from yesterday's class? Yes, Krishna Supreme. Yes, he kept quiet after his guru spoke. And he began to answer his guru. Yes, he already decided to give, but he was speaking to please his friends and his guru. Right. Yes, I agree. These things are necessary. They should not oppose religious principles. But actually, fame is the most important. I want fame out of all of these. So my fame I must have. But he doesn't really believe that. He just wants to give out of love. So, the Bangalata?
As I was going to say, Sukracharya understood a lot about what Vishnu was going to do.
Yes.
He didn't understand the mercy of the Lord.
Yes, he understood so many things. He was a very learned Brahmin. So many things he understood, that what Sukracharya is going to do, this and that, all the bad things. But he didn't understand the mercy of the Lord, actually, on Bali Maharaj. Such mercy he got. Satyavati. Oh, he cursed. Yeah, he cursed. He cursed, you will lose all your opulence. Yes. Yes, you must keep a promise, his vow.
That's why he decided, even at the cost of not following, rejecting a spiritual master, stay to keep the promise to Lord Vishnu, to whom Shukracharya himself was worshipping on the sacrifice.
Yes, so very important for a Kshatriya to keep his promise. So now we'll go to verse 17. We already read that verse. And we'll read also 18 and 19. Verse 18, Bali Maharaj, the worshipper of Lord Vamanadeva, jubilantly washed the Lord's lotus feet and then took the water on his head, for that water delivers the entire universe. Verse 19, at that time, the residents of the higher planetary system, namely the demigods, Gandharvas, Vidharas, Siddhas, and Charanas, all being very pleased by Bali Maharaja's simple, non-duplicitous act, praised his qualities and showered upon him millions of flowers. Imagine, millions. Millions of flowers are coming down.
Millions of different kind of flowers?
Of course, all different kinds, all varieties. Why should it be Boeing?
No,
a million, not a million different kinds. There's not that many species. If you study Padma Purana, there's not that many, how many is it, 900,000 aquatics? And the 900,000, 11 million, only 11 million, or yeah, I think, 1,100,000 stationary species, unmoving species. Plant life. So it would be the same. Some are the same. It couldn't be that many. 11, well, could be. Could be 1 million types. No, millions. So, yes. 11 lakhs, according to the Indian dictionary. 11 lakh species of plants. 9 lakh species of aquatics. 30 lakhs species of animals, and 400,000 species of human beings. So, now they're showering flowers. The purport is very nice in verse 20. Arjavam, simplicity or freedom from duplicity, is a qualification of a Brahman and a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava automatically acquires all the qualities of a Brahman. Yasyasti bhakti bhagavati kinshana sarvai gunaistatra samasate saha. A Vaishnava should possess the brahminical qualities such as satya, shama, dharma, titiksha, and arjava. There cannot be any duplicity in the character of a Vaishnava. When Bali Maharaj acted with unflinching faith and devotion unto the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, this was very much appreciated by all the residents of the higher planetary system. So what does it mean? What does it mean, duplicity? Duplicity. Yes. Okay, to think one thing and do another, or to think one thing and say another, or to say one thing and do another. Yes.
For one's own benefit.
For one's own benefit. Okay. Yes, you're going to do it for Krishna, then it's okay, right? But better not try it.
Krishna wants, yes.
Yes. Don't be duplicitous. Just don't do it. Better be safe and sorry. Don't, the quality of a Brahman is, he's not duplicitous. And it's a weed in the heart, too. You may start doing it for Krishna, and then afterwards you might start doing it for yourself. Just like when in 1970s there was big book distribution. And then all the temples switched from book distribution to selling paintings and selling paraphernalia. And then all the big paraphernalia sellers got married and started doing it for their families. So they got trained up, and now they do it for their own. So this can happen. They go and, I mean, this is what happens. That you learn how to do things, and then you do it. You don't do it for Krishna anymore.
Down till today,
yes. Of course, the some grihasthas, they also give donations, so it's very nice. I know also one grihastha and one of my god sisters in Alachua. She does big collecting, but they have a program in Alachua where the government has a program where you give donations for poor people to get food. And so she does that, collects and does that at the same time. But then if you give the donations, then you get also discount on all your food too. So it's like, anyway, it happens. So no duplicity. It is condemned. And we should follow the Mahajan Bali Maharaj, who was Arjavam, very simple. Simplicity.
qualification of a Brahmin and a Vaishnava. We're all trying to be Brahmins and Vaishnavas. So therefore we should follow this action of Bali Maharaj. So Shridhar Swami says, Satyena, Nishkapatena, without duplicity. The impersonalists are full of duplicity. Because how are the impersonalists full of duplicity? Does anybody know? Our pundit is missing today. He has a toothache. Yes. Yes, that's one point is that they worship the Lord, they do Panchapasana, five deities, and one is Vishnu. And after worshipping, they throw away the deity when they get liberation. That's one point. There's other points of duplicity with the impersonalists. That's one. Another one, yes? Yeah, everything is one unless it pertains to their personal benefit. And they don't follow the rules, some of them. They wear sannyas cloth, but then they have illicit sex with women and so many things. But another point is that here in a purport 327.6, Prabhupada says, sometimes they pretend to execute devotional service, but their ultimate idea is to become one with the Supreme. So they pretend like they have so much devotion, but actually they want to merge. They don't want to be a servant. They're just doing it so that they can merge and get liberation. So that's another point of the duplicity of the impersonalists. So Srila Prabhupada explains that in another purport, 421.33, that anyone can be successful in devotional service provided he displays no duplicity. So what does it mean to display no duplicity? Now we know what is duplicity. So what does it mean if you have no duplicity? How do you behave? Yes, Labhangata?
You always act according to your words.
You act according to your words, what you say, you do, yes?
You're an acharya.
You're an acharya. Nishingadevi? Act according to Krishna's desire, good. Satyavati? Equal to everyone in Abhaya?
Controlling the mind.
Okay, that's very important. Controlling the mind. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending, purity. Okay. Prabhupada gives another symptom in 421.33. You must be very frank and open-minded. Frank and open-minded. If you are Arjavam. Frank means that you say you straightforward. You speak the truth very straightforwardly. Frank. Oh, yeah. Who gave the class today? Oh, wow, I missed it. Good. Madhava. Oh, very good. No duplicity. He must be truthful. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, whose appearance day is today. So he wanted no duplicity. Okay, so this is very relevant for today's class about Bali Maharaj. He is the example. Bali Maharaj is the example of not being duplicitous. And Srila Prabhupada says this goes not only for Brahmins. The only qualification, if you're situated in a lower status, is not a disqualification for success in devotional service. You may be Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra, but you have to be open, frank, and free from reservations. And then you can achieve the highest success of life. So we'll read verse 20. The Gandharvas, Kimpurushas, and Kinnaras sounded thousands and thousands of kettle drums and trumpets again and again. And they sang in great jubilation, declaring, how exalted a person is Bali Maharaj, and what a difficult task he has performed. Even though he knew that Lord Vishnu was on the side of his enemies, he nonetheless gave the Lord the entire three worlds in charity. So imagine, your enemy, this is Arjavam, your enemy comes to you to beg charity, and you give him everything you have. So this is who can top this example of Arjavam, simplicity, the Bali Maharaj. 21. The unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had assumed the form of Vamana, then began increasing in size, acting in terms of the material energy, until everything in the universe was within his body, including the earth, planetary systems, the sky, the directions, the various holes in the universe, the seas, the oceans, the birds, beasts, human beings, the demigods, and the great saintly persons. Purport. Bali Maharaj wanted to give charity to Vamanadeva, but the Lord expanded his body in such a way he showed Bali Maharaj everything in the universe is already in his body. So how is he going to give it? It's already in his body. Actually, no one can give anything to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for he is full in everything. And then Prabhupada gives the example of offering water to the Ganga. You take bath in Ganga and then you offer water to the Ganga. Ganga doesn't need the water, but you get the purification. So Krishna doesn't need our offering, but we get the purification. Only one thing he's looking for in that offering. What's that one thing?
Devotion.
Bhakti. Yes, bhakti. Bhakti amam. He wants the bhakti. So end of the purport, Prabhupada says, in this regard, the example is given that when one's face is decorated with a garland and sandalwood pulp, the reflection of one's face in a mirror automatically becomes beautiful. The original source of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is our original source also. Therefore, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead is decorated, the devotees and all living entities are decorated automatically. Verse 22. Yeah, same analogy from 7th canto. So Prabhupada is paraphrasing that analogy from 7:15, was it? 7:9:11, okay. Verse 22. Bali Maharaj, along with all the priests, acharyas, and members of the assembly, observed the Supreme Personality of Godhead's universal body, which was full of six opulences. That body contained everything within the universe, including all the gross material elements, the senses, sense objects, the mind, intelligence, and false ego, the various kinds of living entities, and the actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature. So we'll go to the middle of the purport. Here, Bali Maharaj was the seer of the personality of Godhead's universal body, and that body was that which was seen. Thus, there is Dvaitavad. There are always two entities, the seer and the seen. The seer is a part of the whole, but he is not equal to the whole. The part of the whole, the seer, is also one with the whole. But since he is but a part, he cannot be the complete whole at any time. This chintya beta beta, simultaneous oneness and difference, is the perfect philosophy propounded by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is shown when Bali Maharaj saw the universal form. So, why is it better to have two than one? The impersonalists say there's all one, but we say there's two. Yes, Mahavendra? Yes, because of rasa. You can have relationship. Yes, relationship. And if there's only one, then what's the question of rasa or relationship? Yes, you had something else. No.
Actually, they have one rasa. They have shantaras.
Shantaras. No, but that's in relationship with the Supreme Lord.
Like impersonalists.
Impersonalists who... Yeah, he thinks everything is one. The Shantarasa are saints who have some association with the devotee, so therefore they appreciate the form of the Lord as different from themselves. So they appreciate it. But if it's all one, then they don't. They think this is me. They're not Shanta. Then they're not. Yeah, they're not Shanta Bhaktas if they think it's all one. Shanta Bhaktas, they see a difference. They see it even. Oh, Shanta Bhakta. Shanta?
No, they maybe name it Shanta.
Achacha. Okay. Yeah, the only Shantaras I know, it's mentioned in Nectar of Devotion that these sages and saints, they appreciate the form of the Lord. And they see the difference. Yes. So this is universal form. We'll read on. Verse 23. Thereafter, Bali Maharaj, who was occupying the seat of King Indra, could see the lower planetary system, such as a satala, on the soles of the feet of the Lord's universal form. He saw on the Lord's feet the surface of the globe, So it's way down there. On the surface of his calves, all the mountains. On his knees, the various birds. And on his thighs, the varieties of air. So this is a different universal form here. Things are much lower down than in, usually they say the earth is the middle. But here it's down on his feet. Verse 24, Bali Maharaj saw beneath the garments of the Lord who acts wonderfully the evening twilight. In the Lord's private parts he saw the Prajapatis, and in the round portion of the waist he saw himself with his confidential associates. So the waist is where Indra, the seat of Indra here in this universal form. In the Lord's navel he saw the sky. On the Lord's waist he saw the seven oceans. And on the Lord's bosom he saw all the clusters of stars. My dear king, on the heart of Lord Murari, he saw religion. On the chest, both pleasing words and truthfulness. In the mind, the moon. On the bosom, the goddess of fortune with a lotus flower in her hand. On the neck, all the Vedas and all sound vibrations. On the arms, all the demigods headed by King Indra. In both ears, all the directions. On the head, the upper planetary systems. On the hair, the clouds. In the nostrils, the wind. On the eyes, the sun, and in the mouth, fire. From his words came all the Vedic mantras. On his tongue was the demigod of water, Varunadev. On his eyebrows were the regulative principles, and on his eyelids were day and night. When his eyes were open, it was daytime, and when they were closed, it was night. On his forehead was anger, and on his lips was greed. O king, in the touch, in his touch were lusty desires. In his semen were all the waters, on his back was irreligion, and in his wonderful activities or steps was the fire of sacrifice. On his shadow was death, in his smile was the illusory energy, and on the hairs of his body were all the drugs and herbs. In his veins were all the rivers, on his nails were all the stones. In his intelligence and throughout his entire body and senses were all living entities, moving and stationary. Bali Maharaj thus saw everything in the gigantic body of the Lord. So I have a quote here from Harivansha, and it's describing the same thing, and it's from a little different angle of vision, from the angle of where the sun and moon are while he's expanding his body. So while expanding his first step, the sun and moon became like two dots on his chest. So that was the first step. They're like chest high, the sun and the moon. With his second step, he was covering the heavenly planets, and the sun and moon were under his navel. After covering all the planets, the sun and moon were under his knees. So such a huge form of the Lord. And the sun is, they're basically in the middle of the universe, the sun and the moon is in the middle. So he went much higher. This is from Harivansha, A.V. Parva, chapter 41.
What about the second step?
Second step, covering the heavenly planets, the sun and moon were under his navel. Just under his navel. And third step, under his knees. I mean, not third step. After completely covering the planets, the sun and moon were under his knees. Yeah, it's a different form. He has many. This is Vamanadeva's universal form. There is another one he showed to Mother Yashoda in his mouth. And one he showed to Arjuna. Yes, that was time. Another one for Duryodhana. Oh, he didn't see full, a little bit. So he shows different aspects of his form for the time. So we'll read verse 30. O king, when all the demons, followers of Maharaj Bali, saw the universal form of Supreme Personality of Godhead who held everything within his body, when they saw in the Lord's hand his disc known as Sudarshan Chakra, which generates intolerable heat, and when they heard the tumultuous sound of his bow, all of these caused lamentation within their hearts. So the reaction of the demons. The Lord's conch shell named Panchajanya, which made sounds like that of a cloud, the very forceful club named Kabadaki, the sword named Vidyadhara, with a shield decorated with hundreds of moon-like spots. Also Akshaya Sayaka, the best of quivers, all of these appeared together to offer prayers to the Lord. These associates, headed by Sunanda and other chief associates, and accompanied by all the predominating deities of the various planets, offered prayers to the Lord, who wore a brilliant helmet, bracelets, and glittering earrings that resembled fish. On the Lord's bosom were the lock of hair called Shivatsa and the transcendental jewel named Koshtuba. He wore a yellow garment covered by a belt, and he was decorated by a flower garland surrounded by bees. Manifesting himself in this way, O King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose activities are wonderful, cover the entire surface of the earth with one footstep, the sky with his body, and all directions with his arms. So there's a purport here, one might argue. Since Bali Maharaj promised Vamanadeva only the land occupied by his steps, why did Lord Vamanadeva occupy the sky also? In this regard, Srila Jiva Goswami says the steps include everything, downward and upward. When one stands up, he certainly occupies certain parts of the sky and certain portions of the earth below his feet. Thus, there was nothing uncommon for the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he occupied the entire sky with his body. So verse 34, as the Lord took his second step, he covered the heavenly planets, and not even a spot remained for the third step, for the Lord's foot extended higher and higher beyond Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and even Satya Loka. So we'll read the purport. When the Lord's footstep exceeded the height of all the lokas, including Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Satya Loka, his nails certainly pierced the covering of the universe. The universe is covered by the five material elements, Bhumir, Apo, Nalo, Vayu, Kam. As stated in the Shastra, these elements are in layers, each 10 times thicker than the previous one. Nonetheless, the nails of the Lord pierced through all these layers and made a hole penetrating into the spiritual world. From this hole, the water of the Ganga infiltrated into this material world. Therefore, it is said, Paranaka Nira Janita Jana Pavana. Because the Lord kicked a hole in the covering of the universe, the water of the Ganga came into this material world to deliver all the fallen souls. So we heard about this in the fifth canto, 17th chapter, verse 1, that he kicked a hole in the covering of the universe with his left foot. It was his left foot. First step was with the right foot, and second step was with the left foot. So it was the left toe, and the Ganga came through, and at first the Ganga washed the lotus feet of the Lord, which are covered with reddish powder, and then the Ganga acquired a very beautiful pink color after that. And by taking bath in Ganga, everybody can purify his mind of material contamination. And even though we dump all our sins in Ganga, it always remains pure. And so many things are going in the Ganga, it always remains pure. Patita Pavani, deliverer of all sinful beings, that is one name. So Srila Prabhupada said in the purport to the fifth canto that if you regularly take bath in Ganga, you're purified both externally and internally. So there is a verse, I will read that verse actually on the, oh no, it's a quote from the purport. So I'll read that quote in 5th canto, 17th chapter, verse 1. Varahe valaparam tu taranyeshir tadakshinam param kalpeshi bhagavan ujhara trivikramam. Standing on his right foot and extending his left to the edge of the universe, Lord Vamana became known as Trivikrama, the incarnation who performed 3 heroic deeds. So Trivikrama is another name for Vamana. 2739, there's another verse about Vamanadeva. Vishnur Vivirya Gananam Katamar Hatiya Pati Vanya Pikavir Vimame Vajangsi Chaskam Vayasaraha Saskalata Chipishtam Yasma Chisamya Sarana Dudukam Vayanam. Who can describe completely the prowess of Vishnu? Even the scientist who might have counted the particles of atoms of the universe cannot do so, because it is he only who, in his form of Trivikrama, moved his leg effortlessly beyond the topmost planet, Satyaloka, up to the neutral state of the 3 modes of material nature, and all were moved. So there's another verse from 11th canto. Ketushchivi, this is 11:6-13. Ketushchivi kram ayutas chipachat patako yaste bayabhaya karo suradeva chanvo swagaya sarishukalesh itaraya bhuman para punato bhagavan pajatam mahamna. O omnipotent Lord, in your incarnation as Trivikram, you raised your leg like a flagpole to break the shell of the universe, allowing the holy Ganga to flow down like a banner of victory in three branches throughout the three planetary systems. So we can look at the picture here of Lord Krishna's lotus feet. You can notice on the left side there is a flag. So this flag with a flagpole, it also represents Vamanadev. And his leg is like, the pole is his leg, and the flag is the Ganga coming down into the universe. And the flag in Krishna's lotus feet. And the meaning of this flag, another meaning, it destroys the unwanted elements towards his devotees, gives security and protection from fear. So the rest of that verse in 11:6-13, it says, your lordship captured Bali Maharaj by three mighty steps of your lotus feet. You captured him along with his universal kingdom. Your lotus feet inspire fear in the demons by driving them down to hell and fearlessness among your devotees, by elevating them to the perfection of heavenly life. We are sincerely trying to worship you, our Lord. Therefore, may your lotus feet kindly free us from all of our sinful reactions. So Krishna's lotus feet and the significance of the flag. The pole is his leg. Vamanadeva's leg is the flag pole, and the flag is the Ganga coming down. So the flag sometimes comes down the flag pole. So the Ganga is coming down the flag pole of his leg. It's coming down into this universe. Washing his feet first, and coming down. And I have a little bit of excerpt here from Gaura Lila. When Lord Chaitanya took the form of Vamanadev, actually. And this is probably from Chaitanya Bhagavat. With great delight, Nimai, the Supreme Lord and object of all sacrifice, left his father's house to go on a begging tour of the surrounding houses. He performed this customary procedure, however, with a great difference, by assuming the form of Sri Vamanadev, the dwarf incarnation. So this is when, actually previously, he got his Brahman thread, sacred thread. I think chapter 17. With a great difference, assuming the form of Sri Vamanadev, the dwarf incarnation who requested 3 footsteps of land from his devotee Bali Maharaj and then accepted nothing short of full surrender from him. The devotees were amazed. The boy actually appeared to be Vamana, brightly glowing, staff in one hand and a pouch over his shoulder. Nimai approached everyone to accept their offerings and offer them his mercy. They could all see that he was not a personality of the material universe. The ladies of every household poured alms into his pouch according to their means. Joyfully, they gave him the best of their wealth, and he reciprocated by delivering them from the bondage of this world. Not wishing to miss serving Sri Vamana, the consorts of the great sages and demigods, disguised as Brahmana wives, availed themselves of the same opportunity. Anyone who saw the beautiful Lord engaged in his Vamana pastime became free from all sin and attained the wealth of love of Godhead. In this way, the Lord's previous Leela as Vamana was reenacted for the welfare of all the world. Yet Lord Chaitanya's pastime as Vamana has much more significance than the previous Leela, wherein he is showing that the Lord and the living entities are pleased and satisfied only by sacrifice. Satisfied not only by sacrifice of the things of this world, which is Vamana's first step. So here's an interesting understanding. Sacrifice of the things of this world is Vamana's first step. Sacrifice not only of the ethereal realm of mind, intelligence, and false ego, which falls to Vamana's second step. So second step is the higher realms of mind, intelligence, and false ego. But of something far beyond that, for he wants surrender of our soul also, who is meant to live with him beyond the limitations of this world. Only surrender of body, mind, and soul can please the Lord and the living entity entirely. With that surrender, the full engagement in devotional service takes place. So Bali Maharaj, that's actually a book which I have, it written by Varshana Swami. But I imagine this pastime is told in Chaitanya Bhagavat, pastime of Lord Chaitanya accepting the form of. So he compiled this from many, many different places. Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Someone gave me this book. I don't think it's available now. It has all of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes and more. Quite nice. Third step is soul. First, soul, your soul. No, third step. First step is material things. Second step is mind, intelligence, false ego. And third step is the soul. Of course, he gave his body, but actually he was giving his soul. He was giving everything, his body and soul. Atma nivedanam. Atma. So Atma means body, mind, and soul. Possessions, yeah. He gave the universe. No, he didn't give the body. The body was last. Third step. Third step, he gave his body. First step, he took the universe. He took the material things. Yeah, it says he took the form of Vamanadeva. And this is actually, yeah, Chaitanya Bhagavat. Actually, I have the reference here. I think I wrote it down. I have the reference from Chaitanya Bhagavat if you want to look it up. I'll just hear it. I think it's here. It's on, it may be on your flip chart. Maybe not. I've got all the Bengali here too. Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adikanda, 8th chapter, from verse 12. I have all these things. Yes, here it is. I have all the Bengali here. So it's Chaitanya Bhagavat, 8th chapter, Adi 8. That's where he got it from. And it has the same, all the same pastimes are here. He summarized it there. It's just exactly the same. And it says, Saraswati, the chief's wives of Brahma, Shiva, and various sages all took the form of Brahmana's wives. Parvati came, Aditi, Anasuya, Arundhati, Devahuti, everybody came to give donation to Lord Chaitanya. So there's a last verse here. It's really nice. I'll read this. Last verse of Chaitanya Bhagavat. Jaya Jaya Shri Vamana Rupa Gaura Chandra Dana Deho Hidai Tomara Para Dvanda. All glories to Shri Gaura Chandra, who accepted the form of Lord Vamana. Please donate your lotus feet in charity to my heart. That's a prayer to Vamanadeva from Chaitanya Bhagavat. The second line of this verse means, O Gaura Chandra, I pray you manifest the lotus feet of your Vamana form in my heart. Jai Shune Prabhu Jagishitra Kaham Jai Pai Chaitanya Chandra Charane Sharan. Whoever hears the topics of the Lord accepting a Brahman thread certainly attains shelter, Sri Chaitanya's lotus feet. In this way, the Lord of Vaikuntha enjoyed in the house of Sachi various pastimes that are unknown to the Vedas. So this is very confidential that Lord Chaitanya took the form of Vamanadeva, actually. Even the Vedas don't know about this. Very confidential pastimes. So now we'll read chapter 21, the whole thing. Verse 1. Shukadeva Goswami continued, when Lord Brahma, who was born of a lotus flower, saw the effulgence of his residence, Brahmaloka, had been reduced by the glaring effulgence from the toenails of Lord Vamanadeva, he approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Brahma was accompanied by all the great sages, headed by Marichi and by yogis like Sanandana. But in the presence of that glaring effulgence, O King, even Lord Brahma and his associates seem insignificant. So just imagine if you're in your house, you're in your planet, and all of a sudden this big foot comes up from the ground or wherever and goes through the sky and effulgent. And you see the foot. And they're seeing the soul. They're seeing the lotus foot. They're seeing the marks. They're seeing the bottom of his foot. And it's so effulgent. What is this? This effulgence who is taking away the effulgence of our residence. So here we have the same view of the foot of Vamanadeva, lotus foot of Krishna. I'm not sure as he does, but he is Krishna, so it's quite likely he has the same markings. Verse 2 and 3. Among the great personalities who came to worship the lotus feet of the Lord were those who had attained perfection in self-control and regulative principles, as well as experts in logic, history, general education, and Vedic literature, known as kalpa, dealing with the old historical incidents. Others were experts in the Vedic corollaries, like Brahma Samhita, all the other knowledge of the Vedas, Sama, Yajur, Rig, and Atharva, and also supplementary Vedic knowledge, Ayurved, Dhanurved, etc. Others were those who had been freed of the reactions to fruitive activities, but transcendental knowledge awakened by practice of yoga. And still others were those who had attained residence in Brahmaloka, not by ordinary karma, but by advanced Vedic knowledge. After devotedly worshipping the upraised lotus feet of the Supreme Lord with oblations of water, Lord Brahma, who is born of the lotus emanating from Lord Vishnu's navel, offered prayers to the Lord. O King, the water from Lord Brahma's Kamandalu washed the lotus feet of Lord Vamanadeva, who is known as Urukrama, the wonderful actor. So he's Urukrama and Sri Vikrama. Thus that water became so pure that it was transformed into the water of the Ganga, which went flowing down from the sky, purifying the three worlds like the pure fame of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So now we have a seeming contradiction here, that first we heard that he kicked a hole in the universe and the water of the Ganga came down. Now we're hearing that Lord Brahma washed his foot, and that's the Ganga, the water from his Kamandalu. Yes? You're going to resolve it?
Yes. And okay. Third way.
There's a third way, too.
The Ganga is actually
Narayan. Narayan melted and became the Ganga. So what happens? How can we reconcile this?
Vishuddha Chakravarti Thakur says it's all
pure. You have read the purport, huh? Very good. What does he say?
The Ganga is all three of
it. It's all three. So let's read the purport. Vamanadeva first expanded himself to the universal form and then reduced himself to the original Vamana Rupa. Thus he acted exactly like Lord Krishna, who at the request of Arjuna first showed his universal form and later resumed his original form as Krishna. So very similar to the pastime of Arjuna and Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, the universal form pastime. He expanded. We're in the purport of verse 5 on chapter 21. So, Lord can assume any form he likes, but his original form is that of Krishna. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. According to the capacity of the devotee, the Lord assumes various forms so that the devotee can handle him. This is his causeless mercy. When Lord Vamanadeva resumed his original form, Lord Brahma and his associates collected various paraphernalia for worship with which to please him. It would have been too difficult in the big form, so he again reduced himself for worship. So when Yashoda saw the universal form, Krishna didn't, he kept his form as a small baby. He didn't expand at all. He just opened his mouth. That was enough. And she saw everything in his mouth, the whole universe. So because he didn't want to disturb Mother Yashoda's love for him, so therefore he didn't expand. But he kept the small baby form. So that's the difference between Krishna and all these other incarnations. These other ones, to do something wonderful, they assume a gigantic form or a fierce form like Nrisimhadeva. But Lord Krishna doesn't have to. He just keeps his sweet, childish form. And he can kill any demons or do anything in that form, fighting with huge wrestlers in a very youthful, young form. So that's the difference between Krishna and the other incarnations. Verse 6 and 7. They worship the Lord by offering fragrant flowers, water, padya and argya, sandalwood pulp and aguru pulp, incense, lamps, fused rice, unbroken grains, fruits, roots and sprouts. While so doing, they offered prayers indicating the glorious activities of the Lord and shouted, Jai, Jai. They also danced, played instruments, sang, sounded conchals and beat kettledrums. In this way, worshipping the Lord. So just imagine Lord Brahma, Shiva, all these demigods are dancing and probably chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in Kirtan to praise the Lord. Hare Krishna Mantra is on all the planets. So Bhurijan makes a comment, interesting comment, that they're offering all these different elements and they all have a very good vibration. Just like if you go to material world, a bar or a club, it has a bad vibration. It's a very disturbing, bad, and it brings you down. So these things are very purifying all these things they offered. Now, verse 8 is very nice. Jambavan, king of the bears, who also joined in the ceremony, sounding his bugle in all directions, he declared a great festival for Lord Vamanadeva's victory. So Jambavan, just like previously, there was no email, no internet, and things like that. So therefore, the means of communication was different too. If you want to send a message like a king, he would send messengers around the kingdom beating drums and making proclamations. So for the universe, we have Jambavan. He was the messenger all over the universe. And actually, I have an excerpt here from Ramayana telling exactly how he did it. This is from Kishkinda Kanda. So what's happening in this part is that Sugriva, the king of the monkeys, is sending different groups, north, south, east, and west, sending different groups of monkeys to look for Sita. So he sent Angada's party, which included Hanuman and Jambavan, to the south. So they went to the south. And they came all the way to the south. They didn't find Sita. Finally, they came to the ocean. And so Angada is the leader of the party. He's the son of Sugriva, I think, or Bali, I can't remember which one. He's the son of one of the leaders of monkeys. So he's asking for volunteers to jump 100 yojanas across to Lanka. So he says, whoever can leap 100 yojanas to rescue Sita from the clutches of Ravana, please step forward. Let us become free from the fear of Sugriva's wrath. No one responded, though, and so Angada began to ask the monkeys individually how far they could jump. One after another, the monkeys responded, some saying they could jump 10 yojanas, some 20, 30, 40, or 50. Mainda said he could jump 60. Didita claimed he could leap 70. Susena declared he could jump 80. Then Jambavan spoke, formerly, I had an almost unlimited jumping capability, but now at the end of my life, I can leap 90 yojanas and no more. So he could only go 90 at that age. And of course, he lived even until Krishna's pastime. So he lived much longer than that. But of course, Vamana Leela was way before Ram Leela. So here's what's happening. Long ago, when Lord Vamanadeva had covered the entire universe, I circumambulated him as he took his three strides. Now, unfortunately, I'm not capable of jumping to Lanka to save Sita. Of course, in the past, this little jump would have been nothing for me. As Lord Vamana, Trivikram, expanded his three steps to take away Balimaraj's kingdom, I soared around the world 21 times just to circumambulate him. So before, he was quite powerful, Jambavan. He circumambulated, and here it says that he was playing his bugle and announcing the victory of Vamanadeva. So he circumambulated 21 times, and at the same time, he was blowing his bugle and making the announcement to everyone that Vamanadeva has conquered the universe. It was good news. Soaring around. Yeah, and around Vamanadeva. He was going around the universe of form 21 times. And so around the whole universe, making his announcement. No, this is Jambavan. This is verse 8. Jambavan, king of the bears, sounding his bugle in all directions, declared a great festival for Lord Vamanadeva's victory. So he's announcing, we're going to have a festival. Lord Vamanadeva has conquered the universe, so now this is good news. We must celebrate and have a nice festival. So, and Ramayana tells actually how he did it. Then he tells about another thing he did in the churning. He was there in the churning of the milk ocean too. When the demigods and asuras had desired to produce nectar, it was I who single-handedly collected all the herbs that were thrown into the milk ocean. So collecting herbs means not just one little garden. You have to go all over the universe to collect different herbs. I have grown very old, so now it is time for Hanuman to exhibit his astonishing prowess. So I don't know how this Treta Yuga is when Lord Ram appeared, and the Vamana pastime was much before that. So by that time, Jambavan had gotten a bit old. By the time Ram Leela came, many millions of years old. And still he lived till Dwapara Yuga for Lord Krishna's pastime. And he fought with Krishna over the Simantaka jewel, Jambavan. I don't know if he's still alive or not. Could be.
Wasn't
Madhavendra Puri said maybe he's coming to ISKCON. Anybody very strong?
Maybe in Himalaya somewhere in the cave.
Anyway, let's not speculate. Our Panditji is not here today. You can ask him that question when he comes back. So, now we'll read a bunch of verses. Verse 9. When the demoniac followers of Maharaj Bali saw that their master, who had been determined in performing sacrifice, had lost all his possessions to Vamanadeva, who had taken them away on the plea of begging 3 paces of lamb, they were very angry and spoke as follows. This Vamana is certainly not a Brahmana, but the best of cheaters, Lord Vishnu. Assuming the form of a Brahman, he has covered his own form, thus he is working for the interests of the demigods. Our Lord Bali Maharaj, because of his position in performing the yajna, has given up the power to punish. Taking advantage of this, our eternal enemy, Vishnu, dressed in the form of a brahmachari beggar, has taken away all his possessions. Our Lord Bali Maharaj is always fixed in truthfulness, and this is especially so at present, since he has been initiated into performing a sacrifice. He is always kind and merciful toward the brahmanas, and he cannot at any time speak lies. Therefore, it is our duty to kill this Vamanadeva, Lord Vishnu. It is our religious principle and the way to serve our master. After making this decision, the demoniac followers of Maharaj Bali took up their various weapons with a view to killing Vamanadeva. O King, the demons, aggravated by their usual anger, took their lances and tridents in hand, and against the will of Bali Maharaj, they pushed forward to kill Lord Vamanadeva. O King, when the associates of Lord Vishnu saw the soldiers of the demons coming forward in violence, they smiled. Taking up their weapons, they forbade the demons to continue their attempt. Nanda Sunanda Jai Vijay Prabala Bala Kumara Kumadaksha Vishakshena Patatri Rat Garuda Jayanta Shutadev Pushpadanta and Satvata were all associates of Lord Vishnu. They were as powerful as 10,000 elephants, and now they began killing the soldiers of the demons. When Bali Maharaj saw that his own soldiers were being killed by the associates of Lord Vishnu, he remembered the curse of Shukacharya and forbade his soldiers to continue fighting. O Viprachiti, O Rahu, O Nemi, please hear my words. Don't fight. Stop immediately, for the present time is not in our favor. O Daityas, by human efforts no one can supersede the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can bring happiness and distress to all living entities. The supreme time factor, which represents the supreme person, was previously in our favor and not in favor of the demigods. But now that same time factor is against us. No one can surpass the time representation of the supreme personality of Godhead by material power, by the council of ministers, by intelligence, by diplomacy, by fortresses, by mystic mantras, by drugs, by herbs, or by any other means. Previously, being empowered by providence, you defeated a great number of such followers of Lord Vishnu. But today, those same followers, having defeated us, are roaring in jubilation like lions. So Bali Maharaj is preaching to his demoniac friends, don't fight, the time is not in our favor. Of course, that is also just to pacify them. He doesn't want to fight with Vamanadeva either. He loves Vamanadeva and he wants to serve him. But also at the same time he has to preach to his demoniac friends. Purport of 23. Bhagavad Gita mentions 5 causes of defeat or victory. Of these 5, Daiva, providence, is the most powerful. Nachadaiva param balam. Bali Maharaj knew the secret of how he had formerly been victorious because providence was in his favor. Now, since that same providence was not in his favor, there is no possibility of his victory. Thus he very intelligently forbade his associates to fight. Verse 24. Unless providence is in our favor, we shall not be able to gain victory. Therefore, we must wait for that favorable time when our defeating them will be possible. So it's not like that he's stopping to be a demon. He says, don't worry, now we lose, but a time will come when we will be victorious again. So see how he's still keeping his identity as king of the demons because he has to pacify them. Although he's a pure devotee, although he's a Mahajan, he's saying, don't worry, we will be victorious in the future. So 25, Shukadeva Goswami continued, O king, in accordance with the order of their master, Bali Maharaj, all the chiefs of the demons and the daityas entered the lower regions of the universe to which they were driven by the soldiers of Vishnu. Thereafter, on the day of Somapan, after the sacrifice was finished, Garuda, king of the birds, understanding the desire of his master, arrested Bali Maharaj with the ropes of Varuna. Purport. Garuda, the constant companion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, knows the confidential part of the Lord's desire. Bali Maharaj's tolerance and devotion were undoubtedly super excellent. Garuda arrested Bali Maharaj to show the entire universe the greatness of the king's tolerance. So now Vamadeva is going to test Bali Maharaj. He's taken everything from him, defeating his soldiers. He's bound him up. He's been insulted. He's cursed by his guru. But actually, what we'll see is his exalted qualities coming through. He'll pass the test with flying colors. So 27. When Bali Maharaj was thus arrested by Lord Vishnu, who is the most powerful, there was a great roar of lamentation in all directions throughout the upper and lower planetary systems of the universe. So now everybody's on his side. Demigods, demons, everybody's. None of them were happy that Bali Maharaj was bound. 28. O King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vamanadeva then spoke to Bali Maharaj, the most liberal and celebrated personality, whom he had arrested with the ropes of Varuna. Bali Maharaj had lost all bodily luster, but he was nonetheless fixed in his determination. So that's the one quality that he has, is determination, devotional service. Everyone's against him. Just imagine, your friends, your guru, even the Lord. Everyone, seemingly the Lord's against. Everybody's giving you a hard time. I mean, even the Supreme Lord himself. So just imagine what a position he's in here. How is he going to react to all of this? Purport. When one is bereft of all his possessions, he is certainly reduced in bodily luster. But although Bali Maharaj had lost everything, he was fixed in his determination to satisfy Vamanadeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So one thing he didn't lose. Everything is gone. He didn't lose his determination. Yes. So we should not lose our determination no matter what happens. Keep our determination. Determination for what? To satisfy Vamanadeva, not determination to enjoy in this material world. Thank you. We must be determined to satisfy the Lord, not determined to make $1 million, like my son. He says, I have two goals in life. One goal is to make $1 million, and the second goal is to go back to Godhead. One is, he wants to go back to Godhead. At the same time, he wants $1 million. So, I don't know. We don't get into these details. Last year you said you wanted $1 million too, remember? For a school. Yes, right. Okay. Maybe he does too. Who knows? Maybe he wants to build a big ashram with full of computers and the latest technology. Who knows? What will happen? Okay. In Bhagavad Gita, such a person is called Sthita Pragya. A pure devotee is never deviated from the service of the Lord, despite all difficulties and impediments offered by the illusory energy. Generally, men who have wealth and opulence are famous. But Bali Maharaj became famous for all time by being deprived of his possessions. This is a special mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead toward his devotees. So it's been millions and millions of years since this happened, and we're still remembering him. He's famous. He's still famous. Even after millions of years, imagine. The Lord says, Yasyaham anugrihnami harishe tattanam shanai. As the first installment of his special favor, the Lord takes away all the possessions of his devotee. A devotee, however, is never disturbed by such a loss. He continues his service, and the Lord amply rewards him beyond the expectations of any common man. So Prabhupada said that Krishna took everything from me. I had 40 rupees and now I have 40 crores. I had 5 children, now I have 500 children, 5,000 children. So this is, I had 1 house and I left that house and now I have temples all over the world. I have a place to stay. He says, but I'm also cursed. I cannot stay any place more than 3 days. So, There is a verse in second canto, 7th chapter, verse 18, very nice verse about Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj, who put on his head the water washed from the lotus feet of the Lord, did not think of anything besides his promise, in spite of being forbidden by his spiritual master. The king dedicated his own personal body to fulfill the measurement of the Lord's third step. For such a personality, even the kingdom of heaven, which he conquered by his strength, was of no value. So Srila Prabhupada in this purport elaborates on the point in this purport that when the Lord takes away everything, it's his special favor. So I picked up one sentence here. When the Lord snatches away one's hard-earned material possessions and favors one with his personal transcendental service for eternal life, bliss, and knowledge, such taking away by the Lord should be considered a special favor on such a pure devotee. And then Prabhupada concludes, the more one spiritually advances by devotional service to the Lord in exchange for his temporary possessions, the more one is freed from attachment of material illusion. 2:7:18. So the more we advance in exchange for material possessions, the more we're free. We're free from attachment. So verse 29, O king of the demons, you have promised to give me 3 steps of land, but I've occupied the entire universe with 2 steps. Now think about where I should put my 3rd. As far as the sun and moon shine with stars, and as far as the clouds pour rain, all the land throughout the universe is in your possession. Of these possessions, with 1 step, I have occupied Burloka. And with my body, I have occupied the entire sky in all directions. And in your presence, with my 2nd step, I have occupied the upper planetary systems. Because you have been unable to give charity according to your promise, the rule is you should go down to live in the hellish planets. Therefore, in accordance with the order of Shukracharya, your spiritual master, now go down and live there. So 2 reasons he has to go down. It's a rule, a law of the universe. If you break your promise, you go to hell. So, any promise. Yes. So. Yes. Yes. For many millions of lives. Chant. Yes. Now you have to chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Yes, it's written. You break a promise, you go to hell. But you must chant. But don't chant, don't start breaking promises and then chant. Yeah, well, you used to say Om in previous lives, so, when you were a Vedic person. But in this life, nobody says Om. If they tell the truth, we're lucky. It's if they make a promise, we're lucky. Of course, actually in India, everybody makes promises tomorrow. But actually, they don't break it because tomorrow is always never comes. So if they say tomorrow today, it's also tomorrow. When tomorrow comes, it's tomorrow. Still tomorrow, when you're going to get your things. You ask him every day, no, tomorrow. I told you tomorrow. Yeah, so actually that's not breaking the promise because it's tomorrow. So yes, eternally. And the Hindi word for tomorrow is the same as the Hindi word for yesterday. So that makes it even more complicated. Kal. Kal. Yes, it's the same word. The only way you can tell the difference is by the way the verb is. If you say, I did this yesterday, kal, or I will do this tomorrow. So it's both kal. Yes, it's very interesting. And when they speak English, yeah, sometimes they say, I will do this yesterday. Or I did this tomorrow. That's confusing. Anyway, this is what's happening. Yeah, it's a language like that. But it's actually interesting because it's only the present. Past and future, it's the same, actually. It's philosophically, there's a philosophy behind it, actually. You have to get into it. But anyway, we won't get into it now. We have to finish these verses. 32. Okay, purport of 32. It is said, Narayana parasarve nakutasana bibhyati sargapavarga narakesh api tulyarta darshina. Devotees solely engaged in devotional service of Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayana never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. for such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. A devotee engaged in the service of Narayan is always in equilibrium. A devotee actually lives transcendentally. Although he may appear to have gone to hell or heaven, he does not live in either place. Rather, he always lives in Vaikuntha. Sagunan samati chaitanya mabhuyaya kapte. Vamana Dev asked Bali Maharaj to go to the hellish planets, apparently just to show the entire universe how tolerant he was. And Bali Maharaj did not hesitate to carry out the order. A devotee does not live alone. Of course, everyone lives with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but because a devotee is engaged in his service, he actually does not live in any material condition. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Kicca maho yata tu adas. Thus he prays to take birth as an insignificant insect in the association of devotees. Because devotees are engaged in the service of the Lord, anyone who lives with them always lives in Vaikuntha, also lives in Vaikuntha. Verse 33. Far from being elevated to the heavenly planets or fulfilling one's desire, one who does not properly give a beggar what he has promised falls down into a hellish condition of life. Being falsely proud of your possessions, you promised to give me land, but you could not fulfill your promise. Therefore, because your promise was false, you must live for a few years in hellish life. So we'll go down into the purport, about four lines down. Bali Maharaj was undoubtedly the most exalted devotee, whereas previously he had maintained a misunderstanding due to false prestige. Interesting statement. He's a pure devotee, but he had a misunderstanding. He had a little mixture. What was his misunderstanding? Krishna Swarupini. Yes, this universe belongs to me. I possess the universe. That was his misunderstanding. By the supreme will of the Lord, he now had to go to the hellish planets. But because he went there by the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he lived there more opulently than one could expect to live in the planets of heaven. A devotee always lives with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, engaging in his service, and therefore he's always transcendental to hellish or heavenly residences. So we'll just sing the song by Jayadev Goswami about Vamanadev. Chalayasi vikramane palimad bhuta vamana paranakanira janita janapavana Keshavachita Vamana Rupa Jaya Chikadishahare Jaya Chikadishahare Jaya Chikadishahare. All glories to Lord Keshava, who assumed the form of a dwarf. O Lord of the universe, who takes away everything inauspicious for the devotees. O wonderful Vamanadev, you tricked the great demon Bali Maharaj by your steps. The water that touched the nails of your lotus feet when you pierced through the covering of the universe purifies all living entities in the form of the river Ganga. Okay, so we'll stop there. Do you have any questions or comments on chapter 20 and 21? Yes. Yes, they saw before Arjuna. You never saw. They didn't see the same form, though. And so, yes, he's showing a different Viratrupa. There's many. Because this one was, the description of this one is quite different from the one description of the one Arjuna saw. Fire coming out of the mouth, destroying everything. This is the form of time. Kalarupa, yes, Kalarupa. He saw Kalarupa. Whereas this Vamana is not like that. This Vamana Rupa was very beautiful and effulgent, and the foot went up and everyone was worshipping. And so it's quite different universal form, yes. Now, this form had a chakra, okay? Produced heat. You find that interesting?
Yeah.
Well, they all seem to have the form of Vishnu. The one Arjuna saw also, they had helmets and all these things as well. Garlands, helmets, chandan. Much more than four hands. Much more than four. Thousands of heads. Or millions, who knows. Unlimited heads. Unlimited arms. Unlimited everything Arjuna saw. This one was only two legs.
Next chapter.
He will put. Yeah, not yet. He didn't, now it looks like he broke his promise. Right now, in this chapter, It looks like he broke his promise, but in the next chapter, he will fulfill his promise. But also, it's not, the point is that Vamanadeva is testing Bala Maharaj, and he's showing the test. What is the purpose of the test? Is to show the exalted qualities of Bali Maharaj.
He wants to glorify.
Yes, he wants to glorify, yes. Yes, and he will glorify Bali Maharaj after, in this 22nd chapter. And he will say, he will list all the things. I cheated him, and I cursed him to go to hell. His guru cursed him, his friends, his wife, everybody. Still, he did not give up his determination to serve me. That's right. If the Lord, does Lord sometimes cheating, like Vamanadeva? Lord Ram didn't cheat. Well, actually he did. He did.
He did also?
Yes, he shot
did
Bali. He shot the, not, was his name Bali also? Yeah, Vali. Vali, the brother of Sugriva from behind.
No, he cheated.
Yes, we should accept. He did come back after 14 years. He didn't say when. He came back after 14 years. Yes. Yes, Lota Babu.
Lota Babu is still waiting.
He's still waiting for Krishna to come back from Mathura, is it? Or?
Yeah. So the deity is like this. You know. He won't take prasad before he comes back. Still waiting.
One cowherd boy is still waiting for Krishna to come back. He'll have to wait a whole another day of Brahma. Lota. That's true. Actually, Lord Chaitanya came. Then you can see. That's a good point. Any other questions? Yes. No, I don't know the story, but I'm sure Adiprush does. And all these stories are in Mahabharata. If you get the full version of Mahabharata, then it tells about all these different personalities, like Jamavan. The monkeys, yes, they were all special. Hanuman and Sugriva, they're all very special. Yeah, very special. I mean, their fathers were demigods and their mothers were monkeys. No, that's... I don't know about that.
They're
Banaras. I'm not sure if they're Kim Purusha. I don't remember. We have to... If you look on... Acha. Kim Purusha. Acha. Okay. Any other questions or comments? Anything else? Yes? Oh, I think you had your quota today. We'll stop here. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.